Well, Father, I truly do thank you, and I give you all honor and all glory. You know exactly, Father, what you're going to do here tonight, and I just praise you for it. I thank you, Father God, that you are opening our eyes wider to see into the spirit realm, that our ears are constantly in tune to your voice and your voice only. And Father, I ask you right now that those who came out tonight to sit in your presence, that you give them a special blessing. And Father, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a review. Well, you might get a quiz later on down the line. But this is a review for the quiz if you get it, all right? God is really good. I know I hear God's voice, and he says, somebody's going to give me a brand new car. Because my electricity is going out in my car. It does the wildest things you ever wanted to say. It just, I think, what's that little car movie where it did what it wanted to do? The lights come off. Herbie. Yep, I have a Herbie. And I never know what Herbie's going to do. So I don't get upset. I just say, do your thing. Just get me home. Amen. Am I the only one that's hot? Or is everybody hot? It's hot, isn't it? You have the air conditioner as high as it can go. You have all 10 of them on. You turned the heaters off, right? I saw Deborah checking. I thought maybe it was on. Well, the weather forecaster might be correct. It's the hottest day of the year so far, right? And he doesn't lie, does he? Anyhow, are you still teachable? There is a lot, and I don't think God speaks in this, but I'm just going to teach you some things. There's a lot going on right now. We are all experiencing difficult times. It seems like we get one situation under control and another one pops up before we can catch our breath. Right? These circumstances and situations are causing us to be strengthened and changed in different areas, whether we know it or not. We are also developing a new level of faith and trust. The High Court has ordered a workout session for us to attend, and the results will be amazing. Now, this is a review of things we've gone through, all right? We have been in God's boot camp, and it's because he loves us that he enrolled us. Isn't he sweet? God has, but he didn't even ask us if we wanted to go to boot camp, did he? He just took us there, took us to the woodshed, and didn't ask our permission for that either. He just said, here we go. God has been working all things after the counsel of his own will. And in Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We said, here I am, God, use me. And we said, my body's yours. You do whatever you want to with it. But when he started squeezing, we said, wait, hold on here, right? God has been grooming, preparing, and aligning us for the days we are facing right now. God has been grooming, preparing, and aligning us for the days we are facing right now. Are you losing your head? And do you know your limitations? Psalm 119:73 says, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. The psalmist looks to the Lord as teacher because he is his creator. He knows his dependence is on the limitless one. How many of you know tonight that there's no way in this world you're going to make it without God? God is the one who is going to see us through all things. While pride seeks knowledge in order to evaluate what is true, a posture of humility asks God for his wisdom and receives understanding with gratitude. there isn't one of us in this room tonight that understands God's ways. And I know that there's many times we say, God, what are you doing? You know, because we lack understanding of God's ways. But even though we ask God, what are you doing? We say, go ahead and keep doing it because you know exactly what I need to get me to where you are taking me. Some of us are surprised at what we really need and how much we need, right? To where God's taking you to. And how about how many of you right now, God's doing new things in you? You know, it's things he's never done before. And I'm hearing God say, I am a limitless God, and I can do whatever I want to do with you. And there's no limit to his chastising, no limit to his love, and no limit to him raising you up into glory. We are not going to figure the future out on our own, no matter how gifted we may be. Jesus is our head. He is an excellent leader, and we must follow him closely if we are to stay in peace and be free of confusion. It's not time to walk in the light of our own counsel. We need Jesus to continue to lead us and guide us and be our head. We need that more today than we did when God taught us all this stuff. We will always see in part, prophesy in part, and we will always be dependent on the one who loves us the most to keep us and instruct us all the days of our lives. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, think on him, and he will direct your steps. All means all. And this is where we get in trouble because we don't use the word all. We use some. You know, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, think on him, and he will direct your steps. And I can guarantee you that the majority of us in here right now, there are things that's been happening in our life, and we can't, for the life of us, understand why it's happening. And you talk to God, and he doesn't talk back. In other words, he's quiet. He isn't answering you. And what he's saying is trust. Trust. And watch him bring you through all things. If you really read your word and really read it in depth, you'll see that every one of God's children question him. It's in some area of their walk with him. They weren't quite sure what God was doing with them. But even when God didn't answer them, they continued on with God. When he told Abraham to move, he didn't tell him where he was going. You all have to have an address and look at the yard and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Abraham, his wife said, where are we going? He said, we're just moving. He just trusted God that much. How much do we trust God? Think about that. We must continue to understand things from his perspective. Otherwise, we will become anxious, critical, and full of fear, which results in torment. We must continue to understand things from God's perspective. Otherwise, we will become anxious, critical, and full of fear, which results in torment. God said he would keep us in perfect peace when we keep our minds on him. The minute you find out you're not in peace, you've taken your mind off of God, and you start thinking about your situation, and then your peace flees. So we have to think on him at all times. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Remember where God said, he told me, daughter, you don't trust me. Well, yeah, I did, but no, I didn't, because I was looking at what man was doing and not believing and trusting God that he knew what to do in the situations. And I know I'm not the only one that's gone there. We've all gone there. We've all just about went over the same hurdles to get where God has taken us to. Question, are you losing your mind? It is most important to lose your mind and take Christ's mind. In Isaiah 55:8, He told us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. You see that? It is most important to lose your mind and take Christ's mind. And in Isaiah 55:8, he told us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. You know, as we was doing praise and worship, I was seeking God's face, and God said, the atmosphere over us is contaminated. And he said, we have to clear the contamination out of the atmosphere over us, because I don't know about you, but I just don't feel a freedom in here the last couple services. And I was asking God why, and he says, because the atmosphere is contaminated. So we're going to have to remove that contamination in order for the freedom to be here and for God to be able to move the way he wants to move. You know, if you would just seek God's face, he goes, I don't know what's going on. You know, when I start feeling these things in here or anywhere. And so you have, the only person that knows is God. And he's the only one that knows what to tell you to do about it. And some of us, I'm quite sure you walk around with, not that you've done anything bad, but I think you walk around with a contaminated atmosphere just because of how the enemy's trying to pull you down, and you know, he keeps harassing you. And when people start talking negative about you, it contaminates the atmosphere around about you. And I'm here, this, I'm just telling you what God's saying, and then God's saying his glory cannot get through that contamination. And so you see, if we keep our eyes on God and we feel that stuff, then we can ask God, what is it that I have to do? And he explained everything I had to do. And what is it, God, I have to do to get the atmosphere clear around about me that I can walk then into your glory and not be held back? See, and God is saying, there is truly something holding back my glory in this place. And each of you have to, it's your job to seek why is the glory being held back from me, you know, you. Because God could use somebody in here to bring his glory through. Or you understand what I'm saying here? So, you know, well, what God is saying. We're always trying to blame the other person, when really we need to look inward. And what am I doing, Father, that the glory is not running freely through me to touch other people? All right? Because we should be free agents, and God's glory should be able to work through you at all times. I want you to really think about this, because God dealt with me as we were in praise and worship. And God is saying right now, we have not yet touched the throne of grace the way we ought. There's a higher level that we are supposed to be in, but we're not there because we have not yet sought his face diligently enough to understand what we are doing wrong. And, you know, because God says, my glory is coming, we think, oh, we can do whatever we want to, because God said he's going to bring it, and whatever he says, he does. But you, if you're not ready to receive that glory, God said it was going to kill you. So even though he said the glory is coming, if you're not right, if your atmosphere around about you is contaminated, I wouldn't want that glory, because we'd have to bury you. Because it will kill you. There's so much power in the glory that he's sending. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we read Isaiah 55:8. He told us that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And in Philippians 2, 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, then, what is Christ thinking? For one, he is not thinking fear. And John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. A lot of people don't believe that. You know, I'm talking about people in the house of God. If they believed that, they wouldn't be walking around in fear and frustration and all that kind of junk that's in the darkness, right? they would be trusting God. Cheer up and take courage. Well, that was God speaking there. Cheer up, take courage. I have overcome the world. But do you believe that? You know, do you really believe that? How many of you can say that God does really sit down and get your attention? You know, he talks to you. And he questions you like that. Do you really trust me? Do you really want to understand what I'm doing in your life? Do you really want to know why these situations are going on in your life? You know, they might have nothing to do with you, but you still have to have an understanding of what's going on around about you so you know how to walk through that mire and that muck, right? Come on. This morning when God was giving out all those wonderful prophecies, and especially the one he gave to Alan, I said, God, I would really like to see that, the fruit of that. I would really like to see the fruit of that. I hear so many good prophetic words go through here, and I see people say, yeah, 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 and shake their head, you know, and go on, but I don't see the fruit yet. Why is it we aren't seeing the fruit? Are you understanding what I'm saying here? It's really God, because I wasn't planning on going to fruit. So you need to ask yourself, ask God, God, why is this is what you said about me. Why is the fruit not being revealed? In other words, why am I not walking in that dominion that you told me I'm walking in? And God has said many, many times now, right now is the time that he wants his body to walk in all the blessings and everything he's promised us. Why are we not walking there? I've lost my place. Even in the midst of uncertainty, the church is headed for her finest hour. We hear that. God has spoken that. But I'd like to see the fruit of that. We are watching a very confused, misguided, and fearful world seek for answers, and God is going to use us in ways beyond our imagination. All right. What I'm hearing the prophets say now, what I'm hearing the churches say now, are the things we've already come through. So now I know that we're going higher. There's a new dimension that God is taking us to. And, well, I was going to say we don't know what it is, but this morning God said it was a marriage supper of the Lamb, right? And that is a very vital step to be taking. It's not to be taken lightly, because God requires a lot of us at the marriage supper. And we are going to have to be diligent about our work with God, because we are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus, and we have to be bringing forth truth and dignity, because God is not a messed up God. There's too many people sitting in the house of God that are still double-minded. You know, they say one thing, but they do another. And when God gives you instructions, you don't really follow the instructions. You just go ahead and do what you were doing before. And this is why you are bogged down with the cares of the world. All right. Now, I want to put this out. I'm looking around here, and every one of you in here are the people that always come here. And God told me the other night, whenever we had quite a few people here, and God was, all you people were on the floor, and we were ministering to the visitors that were coming in, and God is saying, this is how it's going to be. We have now learned what we need to know, and we will now be ministering to the visitors that are coming in here, and it will be with signs and wonders. And we're going to see salvation after salvation. So all this stuff we've gone over is the stuff that God's taken us through. Are you ready to be one that'll minister to the people, the lost that are coming in? Or even the other, a lot of people come here, come from other churches, and are you going to be able to minister the truth to them and not mess them up? We cannot give them a mixed message. The truth has to be told. Why do you think people bring people here into the lighthouse that had never been here before? They've been here themselves. They bring others in. Why is that? Because they know the spirit of truth is here, and they know that God will speak truth into their lives, and they're trying to encourage them. They're trying to build them up and bring them up out of the world into the things of God. Now, you should feel honored that God has done that and that he is doing that, but he wants to do it in a greater... I'm just telling you what... I'm just speaking God's heart right now. He wants to do it in a greater capacity than what he's been able to do it recently. Something happened a couple months back and things got out of whack again. And God's trying to get the church back on an even keel, so that he can bring in the multitudes that he has marked for this church. Each church has their people. God has people marked for them. I don't want what God has marked for the church down in the corner. I want what God has marked for the lighthouse and the lighthouse only. You understand that? So we don't try to take other sheep from other people. God will send us the ones that he knows that we can minister to properly. All right? All right, let's list some of God's thoughts according to Philippians chapter 2. Number one, be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Number two, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And number three, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Number four, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That's the four things that we have to be like-minded with Jesus. Are you there? We can go over them. Be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And number two, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Number three, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And number four, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. How's your love life? You always know when it's waning because God will put a thorn in your flesh and your... And you're to learn to love the unlovable, that unlovable thorn, and then God will move you on. How's your love life? Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It doesn't say love this one or love that one. You know, I was talking to somebody last night. Might have been Brother Chris, I'm not sure. And I said, why do we hate people that are not of our nationality? Why is this going on? You know, these people have lived, we've all lived together all these years, and all of a sudden there's nothing but hate out there. Well, you're not the same as I am. Your skin's different color than mine. Why do we do that? And the Jews are being persecuted like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I know that this is dispensation when this should be happening. But why is the church chiming in with the world? Why can't we love one another like we have been? And I know that this is why God taught us on love, because he knew that he was bringing this into the world, and he was getting us ready to be not haters, but lovers of all those, I'm hearing him say all nationalities. Are you listening here? All right, how are we doing on this, your love walk? Are we passing our love test? I heard someone say, if you want to pass all of your love tests, then join church. The church will test you to your limit. when situations are beyond our control and we are anxious and fearful, it is easy to jump off the love ship and embrace an attitude of every man for himself. It's called a survivor mentality. But such an attitude will not teach us to love. If we run from our hard times, we will not learn how to navigate through them to the end, and we will face the same situation again down the road. There's something going on in my life. I said, God, please teach me how to love here, because I'm going through this same thing all over again. I'm lacking something, and it's my fault, not the person. It's my fault. But I sure wished he would let me know what it is, so I not have to go around this mountain again. Are you understanding this? Love never fails, but we have to stay in it for it to never fail. Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. One time I said, God, my cheeks are beaten and battered or bleeding so bad, I don't think I can turn them. He said, turn the other cheek. What did Jesus do? He turned the other cheek. He loved the unlovable. He loved those who cursed him and persecuted him, right? Love never fails, but we have to stay in it for it to never fail. We can ask ourselves these questions. Number one, do I love my enemies? In Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You see, he doesn't ask you to do anything without giving you the answer why you should be doing it. And number two, do I do good and pray for those who hate me? These are questions you ask yourself. And Luke 6:27-28 says, But I say to you who hear, is your ears open tonight? Are you hearing? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. That is really hard. Really hard. Now, you just let me tell a lie. If you're in Christ Jesus, it is not hard, because we're supposed to have Jesus inside of us, and Jesus is full of love. So this is not hard. We just do not have our love defined yet, refined, or whatever the word is. Are you listening? You can love the unlovable. You really can. You might not really like what they do, but you really can love them. Number three, when my enemy is hungry, do I feed him and give him water? In Proverbs 25:21, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. I'm not letting them come in here in my house and eat my food. Well, then you're not walking where God wants you to walk. Number four, do I pray for my leaders or judge and criticize them? In 1 Timothy 2:1-2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Why? That they may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. I think maybe we're lacking in some of that. I don't think we can honestly say we're right now praying for our leaders the way we ought. I myself said last night, God, you know all things and you bless. And I'm going to keep my pea brain mind out of it, because my pea brain mind doesn't think godly thoughts sometimes about our leaders. If we would bless and not curse, maybe God could reverse the curse. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there at you, you know. But God did tell me this morning, he said that with the president we have now stooped to the, to the level of the foreign countries that have leaders who rule over them unjustly. Now we're no better than the other countries. Because God's telling me that we are allowing this to happen. And it could be because people aren't praying properly. People are fighting among themselves. You know, well, you voted for this and you voted for that one. Yeah, so I'm not going to talk to you. You're not right. I want to kill you, you know. And we shouldn't be going down that road at all. All right. This one results with a promise of a quiet and peaceful life that we just read in the fourth. Do I pray for my leaders or judge and criticize them? Doing things God's way attracts his attention, and he can and will consider us for greater things in the days to come. Doing things against God's ways attracts his attention also. So let's just throw that in there. All right. Proven character results in hope, and hope will not disappoint us because the love of God is poured out in our heart. And Romans 5, 4 and 5 says, in perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See that? Class has been in session for quite a few years now. Another really important point right now is, have you been teachable? When we embrace a know-it-all attitude, then pride causes us to be resisted by God and will delay and possibly abort God's plan to use us. Many in here, you at one point became unteachable, and I told God, kill them. I'm being honest. And give me new ones. But I had to learn to love the unlovable and unteachable so that then God can trust me with new ones. Do you understand this? You don't just kick them out because they become unteachable. You love them through Christ, and then God can change them. All right? Maybe not as quickly as you like, but he does change them eventually. Psalm 119 is the teach me psalm. David was asking for God to teach him so he could walk in truth. That would mean that David didn't know how to do things on his own. God will teach us when we seek him with all our heart, our whole heart. In that place, we can let go of walking in the light of our own counsel and release people who have hurt us. Let's read that again. In that place, when we see God with our whole heart, in that place we can let go of walking in the light of our own counsel and release people who have hurt us. All right? Now, next, do I believe God can change me? In Psalm 119:33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Now, there goes a boat. You didn't do that. Sometimes we harden our heart to instruction because we lack faith that God can change our desires to do his will. And we forget that God has promised to give us both his instruction and the power to carry it out. And you'll find that in Jude 24. We forget that God has promised to give us both his instruction and the power to carry it out. The Father purposes that through his teaching we may grow and learn to reflect the glory of his Son Jesus, and his purposes always come to pass. Let's read that again. The Father purposes that through his teaching we may grow and learn to reflect the glory of his Son Jesus, and his purposes always come to pass. Always. Healing is present when we position ourselves before the one who can put us back together again. Healing is present when we position ourselves before the one. And who is the one? God himself. He is our healer. He's the only one that can put us back together properly. You can ask yourself, what have I learned from my previous lessons? Some of you, nothing. Some of you, three quarters. Let's be honest, you didn't learn all the lessons yet. Or you wouldn't be going through some of the things you're going through. Isn't that right, Barbara Alsop? Thank you. Say it. Yes. Amen. Now, Psalm 119, verse 71 says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. How many, whenever God afflicts you, say, God, please tell me what I'm doing wrong, because I don't want to go through this affliction again. You know? There is no one of us in here tonight that hasn't done something wrong in your walk with God, and you will still do things wrong in your walk with God. But as you, God shows you what you're doing wrong and you cry out to him and repent, God will restore. I mean, we are not Jesus Christ, and we are not God the Father. So therefore, we're not perfected, and we're going to make mistakes. but that doesn't mean that we crucify ourselves. That means we stay humble before God and ask him, please change me in this area where I keep falling into error. One sign of being teachable is the passing of a test. The good student appreciates tests because he knows they reveal evidence of growth and the need for future growth. Now, we know that we graduated, right? So after we graduated from high school, he sent us to college. You know, so we're in college now and we're learning greater things, right? Do I admit when I'm wrong? Some people have a hard time with that one. Do I admit when I'm wrong? In Psalm 119:29, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. And in verse 26, the psalmist says, when I told of my ways, you answered me. And then says in verse 29, put false ways far from me. He has opened his heart to the Lord, honestly confessing. And now that the Lord has answered him, he is looking for correction from what is false within him. See that? Some find it hard to admit when they are wrong. But it is vital to embrace your limited capacity and value what is right and true over what made sense to you in the past. I run across people all the time. They have a hard time admitting that they don't know it all. Well, no, they think they know it all. And they have a hard time admitting they don't know it all. And sometimes I say, God, put them through the threshing floor again. There is no one of us in here that will ever know it all. We just won't. And if you continue to think that way, then God cannot use you. Forgiveness is not optional. God is a God of justice, and he is well able to deal with people and situations that have caused us pain. Thank you, Jesus. Read that again. God is a God of justice, and he is well able to deal with people and situations that have caused us pain. Forgiveness is freedom. Attitude has always determined altitude, and this will never change. The world is watching. They are looking for a demonstration of a Jesus they can also follow. How we represent him in dark days screams volumes to people seeking answers. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. God used to tell me that all the time, daughter, this is where the rubber meets the road. We have to understand, guys, that we live in a world. We have to deal with life. And I don't know if you're like me, but, you know, sometimes I don't like dealing with life because when I deal with life, then people say, oh, I thought you were all that and then some, you know, in God. They don't want you to chastise them. They don't want you to tell them that things have to change because then you're not godly. And I've had to wade through that a lot here lately. And it's not easy to do because you know you're godly and you know that the people you're trying to talk to are not doing what they should do. But you have to address a situation because you've already not addressed it before and made it a big ditch that now you have to clean up. So it's better if we just go ahead and address the situations that have come along so you don't have a great big old ditch full of situations that are going to be very hard to clean up. You know, because we're always afraid, oh, well, I'll hurt their feelings. But you know what? If you're in Christ Jesus, they don't have feelings, right? Come on. What's that word, offended, is what we're thinking about, right? You offended me. Well, then you need to die more to your flesh and get the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are challenged to consider our ways. The first chapter of Haggai talks about shifting our conduct so we can succeed. There are uncertain days ahead for sure, but God is still in control. He is seeking to raise up a church that looks and acts like he does. You know, God told me about 2 months ago, there's a couple that I really loved to pieces, but he said, they've discarded you. They don't want nothing to do with you. And that hurt really bad because I have not done anything to them, but they think I'm not doing right. And I said, God, when does this ever end? When do we ever quit judging our brother and our sister like that without seeking God's face? You know, and I used to say, when people come at me, I'd say, have you sought God's face about this? And then I'm done with that subject. Because whenever you seek God's face about it, then you come to me and talk about it. Because the way you're approaching me, this is what I'm thinking, the way you're approaching me, I know you have not prayed about it, or you wouldn't even be talking to me. You know? So get that attitude too. If they come at you and say things are not right, quietly, just, you can tell them, I think you need to pray about this. That's the end of the subject. Because you know that you know that you know that you're doing what God's told you to do and that they are not seeking God's face about it. Okay. We are going to experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in the days ahead like we never have before. But God will always look on your heart. We can do all kinds of things for him, but in the end, the question will be, have we forgotten our first love? God is for us, with us, and is well able to help us run the race and win the prize. God has been trying to change us into his image. What have you allowed him to change? What have you allowed him to change? Am I a servant? Psalm 119, 124 says, deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. There is a remarkable tie in Psalm 119 between the psalmist's desire to be taught and his identity as a Lord's servant. The sum of the law of God is love, love for God and neighbor, while the ultimate expression of love is death to self for the benefit of someone else. You know, sometimes you're Barbara Alsap and some of the rest of you in here, you're going to find there's some things coming against you and you have nobody to talk to about it except God, right? And sometimes that's not really what you want to hear because you really would like to have a little bit of flesh to talk to because after all, that flesh understands. And that flesh will pat you on the back and say, oh, poor thing. But God will make it to a place where all you can do is turn to him and cry out to him because he knows the truth. And he will deal with you with the truth. And he will set you free from that condemnation that other people are trying to place upon you. All right. So in the next month or so, I'm hearing God say, let's try a day or week. When situations come into your life and you went so desperate to talk to somebody and have them understand what you're going through, he's saying, I'm the only one I'm going to allow you to talk to about it. Nobody else but me, but God. So you've been forewarned. So get ready to feel very alone very isolated, very rejected. I have placed you in that box because I need your full, undivided attention. All right? That was God speaking to you. The more we grow in knowledge of the Lord, the more we will seek to serve others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. The more we grow in knowledge of the Lord, the more we will seek to serve others. All right, let's just talk about Jesus. When he was upset, he always went where? To the mountain. And he was on that mountain, his Father. He had those 12 disciples he could have talked to, but they were a little bit messed up. He knew they wouldn't understand, and there's only one person who would understand, that was his Father. So God says we're to be just like Jesus. So we're going to have to go to the mountain and quit going to the telephone and just talk to Jesus. That's why I love that song. Talking to Jesus. We need to learn to talk to Jesus. I really believe, to me, that song's trying to teach us something. And I don't know how many of us have learned that lesson yet. I noticed that 88.7 are playing those songs now, in case you didn't notice. Every time I woke up last night, there was one of those songs that we sing here on 88.7. All right. Where are we at here? All right. I said the more we grow in knowledge of the Lord, the more we will seek to serve others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. As an apprentice serves alongside the master as a trade is taught, so we learn by doing, and as servants of Christ, we seek to join in the Father's work. I'm just hearing God say right now, your hate and your anger is not pleasing to me. And don't come to me with excuses why you do it. Get it together and get rid of it. Psalm 119:102, he is my help and my salvation, and his spirit gives me hope that my soul will one day say, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. I think they should have taught me well. But he knows that we have not been taught. We've been taught, but we don't put the well thing in there because we aren't doing what we've been taught to do. Are you teachable, or are you still making excuses to why you do what you're doing? We are called to do great exploits, but this will only happen as we allow God to change us from glory to glory. We are called to do great exploits, but this will only happen as we allow God to change us from glory to glory. I watch the body of Christ, and I do not see an agape love walk going on. Do you? No. I still see the body of Christ backbiting and seeking revenge on their conceived enemy, their brother or sister in the Lord. I watch jealousy in this church, and it really upsets me. I thought we were one body, one unit, working for the same goal, and that's to have the glory of God be here and have Jesus walk through our midst and be pleased with us. We each have our own gifting. Let's not be jealous of somebody's gifting. And don't get all puffed up in pride either. Be humble before the Lord, because your pride, it's going to make you fall. Do you understand I don't have to use any one of you to prophesy? I could be pig-headed, big-headed, whatever you want to call headed, and I could do it all myself. It's not that I don't have the word. If I didn't have the word, how could I tell you who to go to prophesy? God's trying to teach you to be humble and teach you of your gift. He's trying to birth your giftings so that when he sends you out, you'll be able to move in them properly. When I said that Brett had a really great book, and it is a great book, I felt jealousy rise up then in this church. That's a shame. That is a shame. So you have a little bit of work to do within you right now. You have to quit being jealous of what other people have, you know, what God's given them. I am not pleased with what I see, and I admonish you to keep in mind the words of Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. See, that's another thing God told me. You know, he told us that we'd made it and he was going to use us. And so he said, some of you have slackened in your walk with him and you're getting ready to lose your walk with him. Instead of you continuing going on and building yourself up in God, you've said, oh, I'm all that, a bag of chips, and I don't need to do anything now. Just sit around and wait. That's wrong. That's wrong. You have to keep moving forward in God. You have to keep seeking his face, and you have to keep allowing him to change you from the inside out. Many of my children do not believe nor understand the words in Luke 13:28. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourself thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Love covers a multitude of sins in 1 Peter 4:7-9. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will carry a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I fall short of that every now and then, do you? I catch myself grumbling. And God says, what are you doing? Nothing. Act like I don't know I'm doing it, you know, but I'm grumbling. Come on. God will get your attention. He won't let you continue down that wrong path. He really won't. Sometimes I get so mad at some of you in here and I sit there and complain, you know, inside where God can't hear, you know. And God said, what are you doing? Pray is what you need to be doing. You know, how many of you do that, right? No, I know you wouldn't do that. No. No. I'm the only one that does that. I know. Have you ever done that with your children? Yeah. And see, and God, what good is that doing to you? I got upset about something that was going on in my house the other day, and Gabriel said, how come all of a sudden you got angry? What is your problem? What have we done? I said, I'm really sorry. You didn't do absolutely nothing. It's just something else that's going on, and I vented on you, and I'm really sorry. See, how many of us do that? You know, the first thing that's around, that's what gets the blow, right? We need to stop that. We really need to stop that. All right, God said, where is my true church? What is she up to? Why can she not see the error of her ways? Does she not know that I am for her and not against her? Woe, woe, woe for all those who have become unteachable. Did you like my word in the bulletin today? Nancy very quietly said, Pastor, are you going to give me your word? It was Saturday afternoon. Are you going to give me your word for the bulletin? Because the bulletin was already except for my word. And I said, I don't have one. I said, I've been seeking God's face and seeking God's face. And the only thing I heard was, what have you done with the last word? I think that's that I gave you. She said, well, then that's the word. And I said, put a ring of fire around it and put it in there. We'll use that. Because it is what God said. What is God saying to you or not? How many of you can say that God's been quiet lately? That he's not talking as much as he used to? You who are walking really super deep in God, he's not talking as much. Why? Because the people are not heeding the words he's already spoken. And you who have a word at every drop of the hat, you're not walking deep enough, because you would find out that God does not have a word all the time. I've even noticed some of the prophets that have a daily word, they aren't giving a word out every day either. So we're all in the same boat. I'm not saying God's not talking to you personally. I'm just saying you're not going to have a word for everybody. That's why you don't see a word from me every day. I just don't get one. I just sit there and about fall asleep sitting there. But I just don't get one. And you really don't know one word from me. You really want the word from God. Amen. And some of you in here can say the very same thing. You really don't want my word. Are you still teachable? That's the question tonight. Are you going to pass college, or are you going to be caught in the muck and the mire